850 The Buzz. Good morning, everybody. You are tuned to Computers 2K2 on Sports Radio 850 The Buzz. I'm Amnon, your host for the next 2 hours, along with Jim Duffy.
Good morning,
Amnon. Good morning. And our producer, screener, weather person.
Extraordinaire.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Hey. How about that?
With a bum knee.
That's his gauge.
Huh? That's a weather gauge. That's a good weather gauge. Yeah.
Exactly. I like that.
I've got some kind of weird thing that tells me when it's raining.
Yep.
My knee.
It's called an umbrella.
So what's happening, Ken?
Oh, nothing.
I can see outside today. What's
going on? You
mean
weather-wise? Yeah, it's raining.
No, I mean, it's open. I can see behind you.
Oh, wow.
Something must have fallen down.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's kind of miserable, isn't it?
It doesn't look like it's raining exactly right now, but
no.
It could.
But there's water out there.
The forecast calls for showers and thunderstorms today with heavy rain at times, the highs in the mid-70s. And the chance of rain is 100%. So I guess we should change chance to certainty of rain.
Absolutely. Yesterday. Yeah.
Yesterday.
What? Somebody?
No, yesterday.
You hear?
Uh-huh. I'll go.
Theodore. No, yesterday, when we were listening to the news, our daughter's name is Hannah. So here comes the news, and we're just laughing because Hannah lost some of her steam, and you can track Hannah at home. It was funny just to listen to the news. Take it. We're just sitting there laughing. But, I drove yesterday morning. Well, yeah, morning. Left here about 6:30 to go to Spencer, North Carolina. And it was foggy. It was foggy that gets your windshield wet that you have to use the wipers. But it didn't rain. All the way down to 85. The minute we hit 85, I mean, the sky just opened up. It just came down, like they say, cats and dogs.
Strangler, huh?
Yeah, and with the military vehicle, it's not sealed nice on the windshield, and I mean, I was soaked sitting there. But hey, you know, it's all right.
We
need the rain, and it rained. It rained in the morning while we were driving. Once we got there, it sort of like stopped, and then started raining a little bit later on in the afternoon, and then was okay. But this is way west. On the way back, it was raining, and then the minute we got like about an hour from Raleigh, nothing.
So that Hannah was on again, off again.
Off again. Hannah was off again.
Say nothing new. Nothing out of the ordinary there. Kids these days. You can't do that.
All right. Thanks. And our phone number is 860-050, star 50 and pounded 50 on your cellular phone. And these are free calls. And joining us in the studio right now, I didn't know if I should announce it earlier or not because we weren't sure. Is Bob Young.
It's crowd noise.
Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, guys. Pleasure to be here.
And
I gotta settle the crowd.
Could you go out there and just give him some candy? We're going to be talking about Bob's new venture, Lulu.
That's right.
Lulu. For those of you that don't recognize the name, Bob is the founder, right?
That's right.
Red Hat.
That's exactly right.
And now it's Lulu. It's something completely new.
Does she wear a red hat?
Well, actually, we came up with Lulu. It actually, if you go to dictionary.com, it comes back with a definition of a remarkable person, object, or idea. Couldn't come up with a better name for a technology company that we didn't know what we were going to do when we said it.
This is going to be a Lulu.
Exactly.
I think we got our company name. Quick, pick the domain name.
Anyway, did you nominate yourself for a Lulu? You can.
You nominate myself for a Lulu. Wow.
As a Lulu, yeah. And all the Lulus then.
As it turns out,
I'm more of a doozy, actually.
As it turns out, every Luann in the country has been calling us trying to buy a hat.
And the damnedest thing, they're all green. Oh, we ain't got no one of those red ones left. We gave them all away.
So what is...
Tell us about Lulu.
Well, it's a technology company. We do two things. It's all about educating technologists. I mean, as you guys know, the problem with technology is it's so closed. You know,
technologists.
We've got to write that down.
That's it. What do you call when it's the same word for a word?
I have no
idea. What's the word? Isn't it
an anagram?
I don't know.
Pentagram. Oh, no, that's what I was doing last night.
It's another word for geek.
There
technology.
You go.
Hey, I like that.
You know, geek, nerd, dweeb,
technology.
This has got a ring to it.
Okay.
So we have the circus coming up.
Not that circus.
You guys have heard of Bassmasters, you know, for the bass fishermen, uh-huh, and the PGA Tour for the golfers.
Right.
Okay. Well, this is the event for technology enthusiasts, for us geeks.
Technology enthusiast. Just write all these words down.
These words are flowing.
Okay, now the next thing you have to write down is www.lulu.com.
There we go.
And then the next one is the Raleigh Fairgrounds at the end of this month, September 27th.
Oh, so it's the end of this month.
End of this month, September 27th, for 3 days. It's going to be the most fun you've ever had with your computer, your Palm Pilot, your... video
pocket
camera.
Projector.
Your pocket projector.
Yeah,
now you're come thinking.
And see all the latest fashion. You know.
Guys are way ahead of me.
Geeks are fun.
Oh, yeah. Hey, to you all
hold
the time.
On. I was told you guys were geeks. What do you mean you're denigrating us, sheep?
Keep giving them. The word gets around. We can't have that word getting around. I'm a nerd, man. I'm very particular. Geek stuff. No, that's lower caste. Nerd, man. I'm moving up.
You are.
No, that sounds cool.
Yeah, and we have cool stuff that we're giving away.
Okay.
I don't know what you're ordered, and I'm happy to answer phone calls. But
you're going to explain. You have to explain.
Give us the spiel about the circus.
You want more spiel?
I want a bunch more spiel.
I thought with all the interruptions, you were trying to get me away from my spiel.
Us interrupting? Here, we'll give him time. Ready? Set, go.
All right.
Well, that was pretty good. No.
So anyway, if it,
actually, I do want to hear. I'm coming to the show. What should I expect?
What should you expect? Well, we get a variety of tracks. We got 90 different experiences, as we call them. These are everything from demonstrations to competitions. You can bring your Lego robot and compete with other Lego robot operators. And to lectures and explanations of how this technology stuff actually works. So whether it's Palm Pilots, whether it's ham radio, you guys should love ham radio. Whether it's programming.
I like ham.
No, is this any mustard? Ham mustard.
This is the amateur radio guy. I mean, you guys know this stuff.
Hey, amateur radio guys, he's got us down.
Absolutely. You guys would feel right at home.
Yeah, I know. Thank you very much.
Amateurs.
And that was Bob Young. Hey, Dana, how you doing? What do you want to do for the rest of the
day? What else? So 3 days of these kind of events. You show up. You can go to just one. There's free events. And it's a little bit like the state fair itself. You know how you pay a small amount of money to get into the state fair? But then you go and do the things that you want to do, whether it's, you know, sort of the cow judging activities or the... or the midway, or, you know, whatever it is you're looking for. Well, our model is very, very similar to that in the sense that you come, you might be interested in Lego Mindstorm robot building. So you'd make sure you were there on Saturday at 1 o'clock. this kind of thing. You get all of this information. I'm just going to continually be boring it coming back to www.lulu.com because this is where you find the whole schedule, and I don't have to bore you guys with the detail we
can
got.
Can I have my hand stamped?
Oh, you get these really attractive bracelets.
Ooh.
If you come.
Oh, I look fabulous.
So you
okay. Will. What color will it be so it won't clash with what I'm wearing?
Okay.
I'm going to have to get the letters for that one. I didn't appreciate the clash.
You may get some in the mail.
Now, the boring bit is they are, in fact, red men's, but unless they clash with what you're wearing, we have failed.
Okay, that's one way to go about fashion.
Yeah. Keep in mind, you guys may be nerds as opposed to geeks, but there is a very sort of fine line between those two groups of people.
As long as it doesn't, the color has to match my pocket protector, so I'll wear my red pocket protector that day.
Okay. Well, what I brought with me today, and I'm not sure how you guys want to handle handing these things out.
Yeah, we'll give them out.
I brought
stuff out.
I brought things like T-shirts. I brought, what do you call these things?
Bumper stickers. Yeah, bumper stickers.
Things like Shut Up and Code or Human Cannonball or Circus Geek.
That sounds like my partner, Rod. Just Shut Up and Code.
All right, dude. I'll keep writing.
Okay. That's exactly right. And then the real prize here is we brought what are called the...
free tickets.
What do we call these things? These are super passes. These aren't just free tickets.
Ooh.
I mean, the tickets are cheap enough. If you're a student and you come on Friday, you actually get in for free. But because all the experiences cost money, if you wanted to go to every experience all 3 days, you'll run up a bill of about $180.
Oh.
And instead of doing that, what you want to do is you want to call in and come up with some scheme or some excuse or some great line that will qualify you for one of these super passes that you guys are going to give us.
We've already given away the super pass. Yeah, never mind that. There was never a super pass here. No, there was never one here.
Not just that, we actually have two super passes.
Oh, good, so someone else gets one?
It's way too early in the morning, and you guys haven't fed me any coffee.
Yeah. I couldn't resist. The door was open, I walked through it.
So here we go. What we have are three certificates. In each certificate, you get two super passes. So you and a friend can go to any event for the full 3 days without anyone challenging you as to what you're doing there. So it's these are $180 value gift certificate things that we're giving away.
Nice. Are these also for sale?
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you come with your friend and you want to go do everything in the circus, Super Pass is only $65 to get into everything. So these things are worth, more than that. Because I was told these were worth $180.
Yeah, it is.
So it's got to be a Super Pass.
$195.
Yeah. So
all three.
No, the calculation goes, because there's two super passes in each envelope.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
Okay. And the actual super pass turns out to be worth $80, so these are actually $160 value.
Okay.
Again, all of this information. I mean, don't
everything.
If you are driving, write this down while you're driving.
This information is available where?
www.lulu.com.
Who would have known he was going to URL at them?
Yeah, Lulu is L-U-L-U.
Just think
not
of your
L-O-O-L-O-O.
Think of that nickname for your Aunt Luann, and you'll be all set.
Lulu. 860-0850, star 50 and pound 50 on your cell phone. Free calls. We are talking with Bobby Angoff. Lulu. And we're talking about Lulu.
She's a nice girl.
She must be.
She is. She is. Well, in fact, technically she's not a girl, but we're going to sell hats and T-shirts to that narrow niche market. If we can't find any geeks who want to come to our thing, at least we know we'll sell some of the promotional items.
She grew up in the forest, and after she visited grandma, that's what became of her.
Oh.
Nobody ever knew, right? What happened after she went with the red hat to grandma's?
That's a little Red Riding Hood.
What happened to her after she went to grandma's?
Yes, but what was...
She started a software company called Red Hat.
That is...
See the connection. I see it's Little Red Riding Hood, and what was Little Red Riding Hood's Christian name? And, of course, it is Lulu. Oh,
yeah?
We've just defined this.
Oh,
we've
okay.
just figured it out.
Nothing,
okay.
Nothing you, but raw talent here.
It took a Jew to do that.
I am so glad I didn't say that. I am so glad.
I figured it out. But,
oh, we got to get people to call.
I mean, you know that I'm going to lead into Red Hat. I mean, it's, you know, we're going to talk about it.
Red well, all my buddies at Red Hat are coming to this thing, so of course.
Of course.
Red, huh?
Red oh, Red Hat. Red Hat
yeah,
software, you know?
Yeah, for them.
The guys who are going to put Microsoft out of business.
They were going to?
Are going
oh,
to.
Are going to. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, give them a little bit of time. They got their work cut out.
Yeah. I think Bill was still in the Fortune top whatever richest person in the world. He's down like 20%, though. He lost $40 billion or something like that.
He lost $40 billion. He's still the richest man in the world. Yeah. It gives you an idea of just how much he was worth.
He can't lose enough to...
No, I'd be happy.
You know, it's all relative because you know how he's losing it.
I wish I was a relative.
Yeah, so do I.
In the will, hopefully.
Huh?
Hopefully I'd be in his will if I was a relative.
If you have a kid, a girl, and he has a boy.
Hey, there you go.
You could.
He could be an in-law.
Potentially.
That, you know, that's
potentially.
Got
you know, I mean, that, start working.
What are you kidding?
Start working
every year,
on it.
Every year, I've got no kids, and every year Father's Day rolls around, I run up to the mailbox and go, no cards.
All right. And your calls are coming up next right here on Sports Radio 850. The Buzz. Hey, welcome back to Computers 2K2 on Sports Radio 850 The Buzz. Our numbers again, 860-0850, star at 50 and pound at 50 on your cell phone. And with us in the studio is Bob Young of Lulu.
That would be Lulu.com.
www.lulu.com. But let's go to the phones and talk with John in Durham. Good morning, John.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Fine.
Okay, I have two questions. One, I had just recently upgraded Windows XP Service Pack 1.
Mm-hmm.
And after I did that, it seemed like everything went fine. It took like forever to download, though. I'm on cable modem. Still took almost 2 hours.
Yikes.
I don't know if it's just because they're so busy or if I have a glitch in it. But anyway, when I go to my email accounts, I have like 3 different accounts under Outlook Express.
Mm-hmm.
And normally I just go to switch identity and
right.
everything works fine. And now whenever I try to switch identity, it blinks off like it's switching. And when it comes back, I'm still on the same default identity.
Can you manage identities and see all three?
No. Mm. Every time I try to do something, it...
Can you add another identity now?
No. Well, what I did was after several hours of... trying all kind of different things, I gave up and just went to System Restore and went back to before I did the service pack.
Right, and everything works.
Yeah.
I don't know. The only thing I know about adding Service Pack 1 that screws things up is I've heard that if you are pirating the software and using one of those numbers that have been given on the Internet,
didn't know about that.
Microsoft took all these numbers... and put them in there, and you cannot.
I actually read a post somewhere on the Internet.
No, it's a registered version.
Yeah, okay, I'm just saying. That's the only thing I know about upgrading to
maybe
SP1.
Maybe because it took so long, I had some kind of glitch in that. Maybe I'll try to download again.
I don't think you need to re-download it. I mean, it sounds like the install and everything worked okay.
Yeah, otherwise it would have come up with some errors.
So
you haven't heard of any problems like that, then?
I would never even think about adding a service pack right after it comes out because you want to make sure that there are no problems with it. And Microsoft is known for all kind of glitches. So I think that service pack came, what, about 2 weeks ago?
What do you mean?
I don't know when.
It's very recent.
The main reason I tried to do it was I was trying to get that Java virtual machine. I have a lot of boxes come up saying I need it.
Did anything happen when you were using the computer that says, sorry, you don't have Java, so this is not going to work? Or is it just because people told you you have to have it?
No, whenever I go to certain websites, a little box comes up saying that. I hit cancel, and I can get most of it. There might be a little box in the website that doesn't show or something.
Okay. No, but I would wait a while before installing any service packs and read and see what's happening on the Internet, see what people say about it.
Right. Okay, second question. Since you got talking about Red Hat and stuff, I had an old computer.
We're talking about Lulu, but we can talk about Red Hat, too.
Okay. We're happy to talk about Red Hat. Not that any of my information is current, but I'll make it up as I go along.
Hey, he sounds like me.
Old computer, one of the first Pentiums. It had, I work at a thrift store, and it had Red Hat, and it booted up a lot of different sequences on the screen. And to be honest, I don't know anything about Red Hat, so I was going to just try to put standard Windows on it. And
you were trying to put, you mean to reformat and put Windows or to use the X Windows?
Just use an old copy of Windows I have.
Okay.
So I tried to F-disk it, and I realized I couldn't F-disk it.
Why?
It said, when I tried to delete the...
partition?
Yeah. The, the third or fourth one, the... Anyway, it says that there's no...
no partition there?
Yeah, or logical, I think.
You see, unfortunately, I always did it the other way around.
I thought you had to start with the logical and then the...
No, I mean, I always did it the other way around. I took the Windows drive and put Linux on it.
Oh, okay.
I don't know about taking Linux. Is there something funny about taking a drive that had Linux on it and file systems and just...
No, if you have your Windows startup.
If you're going to
reformat the hard drive, the Windows hard drive formatting tool should work just fine. Linux doesn't do anything particularly weird to your hard drive.
You should be able to delete the non-DOS partition. That's what you're looking for, right?
Yeah. I did that. That was no problem. That was like partition one. That was only like...
Okay, and you got rid of it.
Yeah.
And then what did you do?
And then it gave me one line that...
After you do that, you have to get out of F-disk and reboot with the floppy. And then run F-disk again and create a partition.
Yeah, I've done that.
And then reboot again and format it.
Okay, but the extended partition was like...
Why are you doing extended?
Or was there an extended there that you want to try to get rid of?
Yeah, I had two partitions.
Okay, so first you have to get rid of the extended partition.
Right.
Then of the primary. But if you already, Linux doesn't do anything with extended partitions.
Okay. Well, that's where almost everything was. There's like 6 gigs on the extended and only about 400 and some megs on...
I wonder if somebody already did it for like 2 operating systems originally.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't know how to switch them or anything.
You should be able to just delete them.
Delete the extended partition, delete the primary partition, and then...
Right. I tried that. Whenever I try to delete the logical, it says no logical partition there. So then
first
I
you do the logical.
Pardon?
If you have C and D.
Right.
And it's 2 actual partitions, then what you do is you go and you delete the logical first. You have to delete the letter first.
Right.
Then you delete the extended.
Right. When I do the logical, it says there's no logical.
So try and just do the extended.
Right. And I do the extended, and it says can't do the extended because there's a logical partition.
Ooh. Okay. I need to put my hands on it. I mean, there's no reason why it won't work or why. I mean, this is so...
Yeah, I didn't know if it was something with the Red Hat Linux. I mean, Linux, or if I just have a bad hard drive. Just have to load
I doubt you have. I doubt you have a bad hard drive either. I think it's just a matter of figuring out how to do it. It shouldn't be that hard.
Yeah, I put the hard drive on 3 different computers, and they all did the exact same thing, so...
Yeah, I've got some old software from the 80s partition editor that always takes care of anything weird. Just happens to work.
Okay.
All right, well, sorry about that.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure. 860-0850. *50 and #50 on your cell phone. I didn't even realize this. We have a report from down under.
Oh, we have Spence on the phone.
Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
Hey, good. I should say good evening here. It's 10:30 in the evening.
Then go to bed.
Yeah, what are you doing now?
I'm listening to the show.
Yeah.
Got a big, very big antenna.
Oh, really? Me too.
Oh, boy.
Bada-boom, stop. Yeah, anyway.
Here we go.
How are things in Australia?
Oh, good. Yeah, things are fine.
They talk funny down there, don't they?
Yeah, they do talk real funny.
No, they don't.
Hard time. I have a hard time understanding them sometimes.
Just throw some shrimp on the barbie. You'll be fine.
Oh, you wouldn't believe the kind of seafood they have down here.
Mm.
Very good. Very good.
Here we go.
So how are things,
talking
how
about
food
again.
There?
Everything is fine. It's kind of gloomy outside, but we're getting rain.
Oh, good.
So
it's been nothing but nice weather here. It's been in the 70s mainly. Maybe it gets up into the 80s. Top during the day, but this is their spring, so.
Your better half still
nice
down there?
Excuse me?
Your better half still down there?
Yeah, she's still here. She leaves tomorrow. And we're I fly up to Queensland, the Gold Coast, tomorrow for the second conference. And then I head back on Saturday.
And you feel like.
So we're finishing up our last night here in Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
A really nice place, just a. A very nice city, very clean, a very good transportation. The people are nice. The prices are excellent. Let me tell you, the exchange rate is just so much in our favor here. It's 55 cents to their dollar.
Wow.
55 cents U.S. to their dollar. So things did just lots and lots of buying power here.
Pick me up a new laptop while you're down there.
Yeah, well, actually, the funny thing is the electronics are not that good because the... it's basically adjusted, but other things like hotel rooms and food and so on.
So what did you get over in Singapore and all that on the other place before you?
Oh,
left?
I got a digital camera,
right,
and a few other things. Just the prices there were very good, even with the exchange rate. But here, because it's actually you wouldn't realize how far away it is. It, from Singapore to here was an 8.5 hour flight.
Yikes!
So it was a long way. So
this is like the cab drivers in New York. They just take you around and around the circle.
That's it.
It's really only a block away, but it took us 2.5 hours to get there.
Yeah. Yeah, I was surprised at how far it was. So, but this time that I'm down here, I actually got to see the countryside. We drove up into the Blue Mountains and stayed overnight up in the mountains. I actually got to see the constellations that I didn't recognize, which was nice.
Hmm.
And, yeah, to see the everything outside of the city, or get to see things outside the city that you get to see before.
How do you see constellations that you don't recognize?
Oh, son of a gun,
I
don't recognize
Southern
that.
Cross. And, it's a very different sky.
I think Australia's famous for their beer. You drink enough of it, you won't recognize any constellations.
Constellations, that's true.
Spence, you know we have a guest in the studio. Were you long enough?
Yes, Ken was telling me he had some different red hat on.
Yeah, well, he's got a green hat on, but it's Bob Young, the founder of Red Hat.
Lulu.com.
Oh, hi, how are you?
Lulu.com.
I'm well, Spence. What are you doing on the other side of the world?
Well, I came over here to help out with some business conferences that were being given, and I had some time between shows, so I was able to go from Malaysia to here in Sydney and then... spend another week up in Queensland, Australia, and then come home.
So you're doing the travelogue part of this show this week?
Yeah, that's it. I'm the mobile reporter.
Next week, here's
Spence is with Northdale.
Oh, okay.
He's still with Northdale.
He's still with Northdale. That's very impressive. Spence, you must be an important person over there.
Oh, boy.
He's one of the nine guys.
I haven't heard from my boss in a couple of days.
You haven't heard from your boss. No, you are your boss now, dude.
Oh, I am? Okay.
I can make a few phone calls. You'd be surprised who I don't know.
Oh, boy.
You haven't heard from
anyway,
your boss.
Yeah. So when are you going to be back?
Oh, I'll be back next Saturday. Get home all on the same day. Leave Saturday morning from here and get in Saturday night.
And
but it takes about 20-something hours.
Yikes.
Oh.
It is a long way over there. You don't appreciate it looking at a map. It's the distances are big.
Sydney to Los Angeles is a 13.5-hour flight in the air.
But it's actually, well, the time difference is, it's what?
You actually get in before you left. So it's kind of interesting. But try to convince somebody that you actually gained time because you lost it coming over. So.
You can have breakfast in Australia and then get to L.A. and have breakfast.
Have breakfast again.
Yeah. You know, works for me.
So I don't reckon you're going to be here next Sunday. You're probably going to be.
My clock will be trying to reset my clock, but let's see. I'll try.
Okay.
Try to get in. So.
All right.
All right.
The phone technology was
so what
well.
Are you guys going to do tonight? It's already over?
Oh, it's 11:30. Oh, I mean, 10:30 now.
So you're going to... Go ahead.
No, we won't be going out again, so...
Oh.
Yeah, we're going to... tomorrow morning, we pack up and head to the airport.
Good. So. Is she tired? Did she do a lot of sightseeing?
It went very well. I mean, she had the typical jet lag. After a few days, got over that, but adjusted pretty good.
Good.
And
have you seen any British convicts floating around?
No, but we did get to walk all over that whole section of Sydney that's called the Rocks. It's where the original prisoners were kept, and now it's just a really nice shopping and restaurants and attractions and so on. You can walk through and get a little historical tour and. A very nice job they did of renovating some of the older buildings.
This segment brought to you by the Australian Travel Society. Come visit down Australia.
Oh, come on down.
We'll throw a couple of shrimp on the barbie for you.
I thought the idea was they don't have convicts anymore, but they still do rob you when you when you go visit that section of town.
But oomph.
I gotta hope not.
Check your wallet.
Maybe in some of the souvenir stores.
That's what I was trying to refer to. I wasn't accusing the Australians of anything untoward.
You got to be careful because if you're downtown checking out souvenirs, you can definitely go outside the city and get things cheaper. So
that's true for everywhere on the planet.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah.
Yep. So.
All right, Stan.
All right, well, guys, we'll have a good week.
You too. Stay safe.
And. We will, definitely, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Until hi to Pam and say, hope she gets here in one piece.
Okay, thank you. I will.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye. That was our,
roving international travel reporter.
Yep. 860-0850, *15#50 on your cell phone. And when we come back, I tell you what, let's do one thing real quick because... Stephanie is long distance. Stephanie.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi. I have a digital camera, and I took some pictures, and I know there were some pictures on there. However, something happened such that either I have a bad disc or something didn't write to it correctly, and I want to know if there's any software where I can actually get to those pictures now.
Wait, Stephanie. You have a digital camera, and you took some pictures.
It writes.
And then you downloaded them to your computer.
No. The digital camera actually.
Oh, it has a CD in it.
Right.
Not memory. Oh.
Right.
Don't know. You need to call the manufacturer. You need to call the
manufacturer. There's no software that might be out there that can get to that. And I have to write the CD, but it can't get to it.
The only software is the software that you're using to talk with the camera.
Okay.
So you need to call the manufacturer and find out from them if there is something that they can recommend that will be able to interrogate that CD.
They may have some software.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Sure.
Bye.
Thanks for calling 850 The Buzz. And your calls and more talk with Bob Young about Lulu. www.lulu.com, that is. We'll be back after this break. Welcome back to Computers 2K2 on Sports Radio 850 The Buzz. Our numbers again, 860-0850, *50, and #50 on your cell phone. Where he calls. Let's just pick up Michelle?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Good morning.
Hello.
Hello.
Am I on?
You're on.
Oh,
everybody's
okay.
Hearing you now.
Okay.
Be careful what you're saying.
Okay. I just wanted to call because I had heard the gentleman that had called in about his F-disc problem.
Right.
And I have seen that before. I've seen where the FAT32 version of Windows 95 at times could make an extended partition that you later could not delete. And I never really found any correlation as to, I mean, I used to set up a lot of computers, and I could set many up exactly the same, and then at times come back and find that one of them would I would not be able to delete for some reason or another. And I found a tool called GDisk, G as in golf.
Yeah.
That would allow you to delete all partitions on your drive, regardless of how they were created or with what, for, you know, how they were formatted, what have you. And I know that you can download that, and I'm sorry I'm in my car, and I
can't remember where
to send him to download it, but I just wanted to call in and let him know that is something he could get for free that he could probably solve his problem.
GDisk.
Yes.
Okay, G-disk. I guess if you do a search on it, it'll come up.
Yeah, like go out on Google or something.
Yep.
That he'd be able to find that somewhere where he could download it from, and that should solve his problem.
Cool.
Okay.
Very cool. And you're doing this for yourself, or are you working for a company?
I used to work for a company where I set up a lot of computers and would just, you know, run into snags here and there, and that was just one thing that I found at one point that helped me out. So
okay.
Just wanted to share it.
Very nice. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Drive carefully.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Oh, we just lost her.
No, that's not funny. GDisk. Just if you're interested in that, I can't remember who the caller was, but this way, it's a program that will let you delete any partition. If you press the red button on the software and you see that the hard drive just disappeared, it's still there. It just became transparent. Is it one of those programs? No, it's not. Anyway, back we have a couple more minutes before the break. This is a very short segment. It's like 5 minutes.
Okie doke.
We're talking with Bob Young.
So I want to know where the idea for Lulu come from. Or for the whole tech circus.
For the whole tech. It actually came out of Red Hat. Once Red Hat was this huge success, had 700 people spread on 4 continents around the world, and we had to go out and hire actually smart people who knew how to run a company like that. Matthew Zulick, the CEO at Red Hat, is doing a brilliant job. That's my plug for Matthew. I find myself quasi unemployed, and I'm going, okay, so now what do I do? My wife isn't going to let me stay at home.
Together, unemployed. Oh,
thank you. I said quasi. I did call it.
Unemployed with all those damn zeros. comma,
that is actually a problem for me in this life, is I find it really hard to feel sorry for myself anymore. You know? I used to be really good at that.
It's that portfolio. It's killing me. That's the problem.
Anyway, this was actually last summer, and all the journalists last summer were doing these stories on the Linux kernel is 10 years old, and they would call me up as this old-time Linux guy saying, well, is it a fad or, you know, sort of this Linux thing going away? And I made the parallel with the PC, and in 1984, the PC was 10 years old. The original Heath kits were and Homebrew Computing Club were 1974. So by 84, we thought we were in a big industry, but we were, in fact, still at the very early stages of the PC industry. I was making the same pitch to the journalists, saying, no, this Linux thing has just begun because of the benefits of open source as a software model, particularly for infrastructure software, particularly for operating systems and these kinds of things. So I looked in the mirror and said, did I actually believe the spin I was giving the journalists? And it turns out I did. So I go, hold on. Well, in 1984, companies like Dell and Compaq had not even been founded.
Right.
So I say, okay, where are the opportunities in this open source revolution? If this, in fact, is the future of computing, particularly on the Internet and operating systems and that kind of stuff, where's the business opportunities? And I realized it was all in education. The benefit of open source is it empowers the user. And the problem we have is so many users don't understand that this is all about them. This isn't about vendors. For the first time, this is about giving the consumer of technology control over the technology he's using.
So I figure I'll go into the education business. What part of the education business needs some help? Well, the trade show business, the technology trade show business sure needed a lot of help. Don't know about you guys, every trade show I've ever been to, you felt like so many, you know, cows being herded for the benefit of the exhibitors. What if we did it? What if we did an event, a technology event that was all about the attendees? To hell with the exhibitors. If we get the attendees, the exhibitors are obviously going to want to come. But if we focus on the attendees, the way, you know, Bassmasters is my parallel, focus on bass fishermen, and then they get the outboard motor makers coming. But nonetheless, they're catering to the enthusiasts in the bass fishing community, and no one is catering to the enthusiasts in the technology community, so that's what the circus is all about. It's all about you guys.
Very cool. Nice.
Good idea.
Cool. Yeah, absolutely. Let's take another short break, and we'll be back with your calls and more talk about Lulu when we get back after the break.
This was only a test.
Did you have a pencil and paper ready?
This was only
a test. I failed it, man. I couldn't copy off anybody.
Was it an open neighbor test?
That's
the only way I got through college.
Welcome back to Computers 2K2 on Sports Radio 850 The Buzz. Our number is 860-0850, star 50, and pound 50 on your cell phone. Free calls. Lynn, good morning.
Good morning. I have a question for you about a problem that we're having. We started having about 3 or 4 months ago. We have...
That's when you shoot a cold.
Probably. Well, the problem is whenever we print anything from email, from our Microsoft Outlook, the font size might be a 12 when you're reading it, but when it prints, it goes down to like a 6 or something like that, real small. That I can cut the document and paste it into a Word and print it, and it's perfectly fine. The font size stays the same as you see on the screen in prints. And we tried uninstalling and reinstalling our printer because we thought maybe something had gotten messed up with that, and that didn't help. And we also sent an email to Microsoft, but they said that there was really nothing they could do because we bought software. It was pre-installed with our computer when we bought it.
When you have to call Dell or Compaq or whoever.
Yeah, we called Dell, and they said it wasn't their problem. We called
Is it a Dell computer? Because if it's not, it's not their problem.
I was just thinking, we called Dell. It's a Compaq, but we called Dell.
Well, it is. We have a Dell.
Okay.
And the printer's Lexmark. We called them, and they said it's something with our Internet provider. We called our Internet provider, and they said it's not their problem. But we don't know where to go at this point. We've tried, you know, several different things, and it's still – it's kind of weird that it only works. One way.
The only thing I can, and I don't remember if this is in Outlook Express or in Eudora, there was a certain settings for printer. Go to the options in Outlook Express and see if there are different font settings for printer and for the screen. That's how it used to be in Eudora. Mm-hmm. You would have 12 on the screen, but you wanted to have 10 on a print so it'll fit.
I thought I'd looked at that. I vaguely remember doing that because at one point they had me changing. It has like RM format or things like that to change the way it prints, and that didn't seem to help. But I couldn't find anything as far as options go as the printing would do.
What happens if you open a WordPad or Notepad and print from it?
Well, see, that works fine. I can go ahead and...
Not Microsoft Word. WordPad.
I haven't tried that.
Try and do this and see if it prints small again, because it may be that your printer really is set up as a default. The default font is small, but again, Outlook Express should override it. Without putting my hands on it in front of the computer, I can't think straight about what else to look for.
Okay.
It must be something real simple though. It's not that complicated. It's not a serious problem.
Usually, we usually never, you know, mess with the fonts or try and change anything around. And so it's somebody, like all of a sudden,
somebody must have done something and said, oh, I don't know what that is. Okay. And that's it. That's how normally it happens. We said that most errors on the PC occurs. It's not the PC, and it's not the operating system. It usually happens between the chair and the keyboard.
Okay.
So somebody did something.
Okay. Okay. You don't think it would? I'd heard that maybe we should uninstall and reinstall, like Internet Explorer.
Not do that unless there's really nothing on that PC that is important.
Okay.
I think you don't take the carpet out when you're trying to clean it. You know, you get somebody to come and clean it for you.
Okay.
They don't pull it out and reinstall it. No, I wouldn't do that.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Sure, Lynn. Take care. Some of these things just happen, and people don't know, and, you know.
I say buy a new computer. Takes care of the problem.
Magnifying glass.
Bigger paper.
Bigger paper.
Bigger paper. I think that's probably the trick.
The other trick is to buy an older computer, the one with less functionality, fewer buttons, fewer things to go wrong. You know, CPM used to be a great operating system.
How do you spell that? Dose? Pre-dose.
That's pre-dose, yeah.
I have other tech circus questions. What other cities and dates do you have? Is Raleigh going to be the only one?
We have about a minute.
Oh, okay. We'll go after the break.
I'll set
him up with the questions.
Send him an email.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, wireless network in here?
That's right.
Other dates and cities?
Yeah, no, we're taking this. We're going to do it the same time every year in each city we do it. So Raleigh will be in September every year from now until
people refuse to come.
But yes, we have the next one will be in Boston in February.
How many altogether?
We will eventually be going to 12 per year around North America, including Toronto up in Canada and all over the U.S.
Very nice.
Cool.
Okay, and your calls are coming up next right here on Sports Radio 850. The Buzz. A50 The Buzz. Good morning again, everybody. You're still tuned to Computers 2K2 on Sports Radio A50 The Buzz. I'm Anon, your host for the next 2 hours.
I'm not going to hear 2 hours, man.
Along with Jim Duffy.
Good morning.
And our producer, Screener Ken, is here again with us to update what's going on. So what's happening? You didn't think it would work, did you?
No,
you know, if you push this button and talk, it works.
How about that? I think there's not a whole lot going on in
nothing.
Here.
It's Sunday morning. It's
so Chris Clark like made his way in this morning, but that was about
Chris Clark is in the building.
He's in the house.
He's in the house.
It looks kind of dry out there. It's not raining. It's just whatever
rains. It's raining.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the chance of rain is 100% today. So
after 2-3 weeks ago, when was it? I don't believe you anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know about the audience, but I don't believe you anymore.
Not only regarding the weather, but just in all facets of life.
How's your knee?
What's that?
How's your knee?
Oh, it's great.
So it's not going to rain. It's not going to rain.
Yeah.
Is it hurting?
Nah.
It's not going to rain.
Not at all.
It's not going to rain.
You gonna live?
He's
going for a while, hopefully.
Yeah.
Put $100 against him. How am I going to make any money? Double or nothing, you don't make it through the weekend.
It's Sunday already.
Yeah, I know I'm going to lose money on this one.
Yep, you're going to lose it.
I'm going to call my bookie.
You're going to lose it then, big way.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yep. He's going to outlive us.
That would be a good thing, though. Then he could tell radio hosts of the next millennium if it's going to rain or not.
It's going to rain or not.
It works for me.
Good point. They're all very good points.
I'll let you go, Ken.
Oh, okay.
He's on your case. For
if you guys need anything, you know where I am.
Yep. Thank you.
I'll remember that.
And with us in the studio is Bob Young, founder of Red Hat. Now, he's got a new venture going on. Lulu. www.lulu.com. L-U-L-U. And we're talking about the tech circus. There's a circus in town.
It's the first of its kind. So it's not only the first tech circus in Raleigh. It is the first tech circus that has ever been held on the planet.
On the planet.
There has never been a technology event of this sort held anywhere. And people
anywhere on the planet. It may have happened some on other planets, but not on this one.
That is true.
Yeah.
Good clarification.
There was something similar like that on Alpha 48589 that I went to not too long ago, but you know, not nearly as good. I'm from another planet.
A spaceman. You know, right? I can see it. I can see it.
For those who just joined us, tell us about Tech Circus. Tell us what it is.
Yep.
Okay. Tech Circus is the end of this month, September, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, September 27th, 28th, 29th, at the fairgrounds, the big Jim Graham building, you know, where they normally do the cattle competition during the state fair, you know, the really big building there. Okay, well, we've turned this into a technology destination, I guess. We've got people like Singular and Verizon wiring the place up for us. They're going to be demonstrating some of the really cool latest technology on running applications on your cell phone. As for anyone who's not been paying attention to cell phones are no longer going to be phones.
Verizon has it. Singular doesn't.
No, Singular does. This is a Singular phone. I'm holding up a Trio, a handspring Trio organizer.
Really?
And this is Singular's network. And Singular were the first guys out with the Trio handspring, and I can do everything from running games to connecting to the internet to...
Funny, I was a dealer for them for a long time, and they never came up with this. And then I said, oh, Verizon! And they have all these...
Toys
that and connect to the internet fast and all. You know, wow, yeah, that's what I want.
Oh, interesting. And those guys
didn't have any.
Well, they're clearly, we've got some good competition going in those marketplaces because these guys are leapfrogging.
And where are the winners?
Yeah, because the other guys, I just needed to upgrade my handspring Trio, and who should have the best service on the new color handspring but Sprint? So I've gone from Verizon to Singular, to Sprint, and I'm sure I'll be back at Verizon, with the next generation. But that's how free markets are supposed to work. And this is why these new technologies are so cool. There's a little outfit here in Raleigh called Summits who are building some of these applications that are going to enable guys like Singular and Verizon to offer this kind of functionality on not even specific phones. These are going to be generic Taiwanese or Nokia phones, I guess. So they have little screens, and these guys need the applications to be able to convince people to buy them.
Sure, cool.
And apparently Christmas is going to be wild in terms of what you're going to be able to do with the cell phones that people are going to give you at Christmas.
Now, will the cell phone number follow you around from carrier to carrier to carrier?
Not yet.
Not a chance. Not a chance.
No, it will. It will happen.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
You think so? I think the carriers have too much. That is the only
loyalty
they can get out of us.
But it's not a vendor's. It's not going to be a vendor's.
You think the FCC is going to make them do this?
I sure hope so. It looks like it.
Okay. It'll be interesting because the politics up there, and I mean politics in the good sense of the word, these things have to be debated out and worked on. The politics are so incredibly complex between what the FCC perceive as the right thing to do for the market and what the suppliers think is the right thing to do for them.
Yeah.
That it's hard to tell how this is going to play out.
Let's, Tony, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine. What's up?
With my Internet Explorer, I got a new PC right after Christmas last year, and I had a bunch of websites, still have a bunch of websites in my favorites that I would go to almost every day, checking various sporting news and whatnot.
Right.
And one by one, several of them have gotten where when I try to go to these websites, the computer locks up. They load maybe...
Clear your cache.
I've cleared the cache. I clear the cache every time I turn the computer off.
Okay.
Now, I do have a network in the house. I can go to my wife's PC. I can log on to these websites instantly. I also have a second dial-up access, and I can go to the dial-up, and it won't access them either.
It will not?
It will not.
From that same machine?
From the same machine.
How are you clearing the cache?
I go into Tools.
Okay, do it the different way.
Well, I've also done it with Norton Antivirus.
No. Oh, well, that's the problem right there.
Norton has only been on the computer about 2 weeks.
Yeah. No, here's what you do. Right-click on Start and go to Explore, and it'll start. It'll the highlighted menu, the folder will be startup. If you look below it, you'll see a directory called Temporary Internet Files. And there'll be a plus next to it. Click the plus and delete.
You lost me there because I won't start. And then I'll highlight
we can do it right here on the air. I mean, this is going to take forever.
Okay.
Right-click on Start.
Uh-huh.
Right-click on Start. And then Explore. And then scroll down to Temporary Internet Files. And click the plus next to Temporary Internet Files. Mm-hmm. And there's a directory underneath it called IE5. Delete that directory with everything that's in it.
Okay.
And then restart the computer and see if everything is not working correctly.
I will do it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sure.
Bye.
And it's Barry. Good morning.
I have a question for Bob about the Lulu Tech Circus.
Uh-huh.
I'm a film student, and I understand at the circus there are going to be a whole bunch of things, and I don't quite understand how it's going to work. So here's my question. I understand there's a digital film festival and electronic music demonstrations, classes in Final Cut Pro, high-def TV demonstrations, and LAN gaming competitions. How does this all go on at the same time?
Golly, you've sure done your homework. I'm impressed. Clearly someone has gone to Lulu.com. The answer is it multiple tracks, but this is over 3 days. So you line up which day you want to go to. Go to the site. This is all laid out on a calendar, if you like, at the site. You pick the events you want to go to. There may be some tough choices. There may be a music event going on at the same time as the video demonstration that you want to do.
Do they repeat? Could I do one on Saturday?
Yes. The short answer is they do repeat. On the website, we've got the whole calendar of events. So you've got to go through the days that you're interested in, or you can go to the specific experience. So again, go to the website, go to experiences, pick the one you want. When you click on it, it'll come up with the specific dates and days and times that experience is being held. Most of them are being held more than once.
And a lot of these are hands-on?
A lot of them are hands-on. Again, all the information is there, but yeah, a lot of them, we literally have multiple labs. We have about 6 different labs of different equipment, one lab of PDA equipment, another lab of Apple gear, but several labs of Microsoft PC equipment running digital video type and page layout applications and all the other hands-on demonstrations that are being led by experts in these fields. We've been thrilled. I don't know if anyone's going to come to the circus given the first one, but the caliber of demonstrators, the caliber of experts we have coming is pretty exciting.
Me and my buddies are coming.
Well, terrific.
Hey, Barry.
Yes.
Did you get your tickets yet?
No. In fact, that was my next question.
Hot dog! Have we got a surprise for you? If you hold on, Ken will get your full name, and you're going to get one of those super passes for you and a guest.
What do I tell my friends, though?
Friends?
Well, I don't. I'm not looking.
Well, this will fork out some money,
Jackbastards
have to pay for themselves.
Okay.
This is for you and a guest.
No, I understand that. But otherwise, website, I would guess.
Yes, absolutely. All the information, and I mean all the information, is on the website at lulu.com. But it really is a cafeteria-style pricing thing. There's very little money to get in. If you go on Friday and you can show some sort of student ID, you'll get in for free. And then the actual experiences range between literally free to what we call peanuts.
What's the most expensive?
How much is that?
$12. $12. Well,
that's amazing.
They can do that.
We're all very excited.
Well, terrific. We're looking forward to seeing you there.
So don't hang up, and Ken is going to get your details, okay?
Great. Thank you.
Sure. Thanks for calling 850 The Buzz. 860-0850, *15, and *50 on your cell phone. Yeah, you see, now he's a student, and that's good.
Made his day.
Absolutely. We hope so.
It certainly made my day.
You see, you got to talk about circus.
We should ask him who he which school he's going to, because I think Bob has some comments about some games that were yesterday.
Games?
Were some games yesterday?
Oh, as in the football games. Football games. Were you guys paying any attention to the football games last night?
Yeah, I think Carolina got crushed.
They sure did get crushed, yeah. And that's really painful to have your ex-coach come in and beat you up like that. You know?
I'm going to come to town and just bury you. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Who won?
I end up pulling for
Carolina
NC.
Carolina got crushed.
Texas. Oh. Mind you, Texas are supposed to be one of the top two teams in the country this year. So. And who could that be? Miami Hurricane?
Yeah, but
Jim, did you go to Miami?
I grew up in South Florida, though.
Did you?
Diehard Hurricane fan.
But you couldn't get into university.
Oh,
so you're vicarious.
I think I'm bleeding. Hold on.
Come over here. I'll pull it out. Come here. I'll pull the knife out.
I think I'm bleeding. No, I'm okay. No, really. I can honestly say yes. I was accepted to the University of Miami. Decided that my wallet wasn't nearly thick enough to go to the University of Miami. But didn't go there.
Oh, okay. I tend to pull for NC State in this area. You know, they seem to be the underdogs typically in most things. And so they're having a great year.
Oh, yes. They look incredible. Yeah. This is the sports radio station. Let's talk sports.
Yeah, absolutely.
And no interest in sports.
Really?
Zero, not a zilch.
Okay, well, Jim, you and I, we'll take over the show.
We'll take your calls. What do you think of Philip Rivers in that quarterback situation at NC State? We'll take your calls. And your computer problems? Forget that.
No, now, if you can tie in your football question with a computer question, you too will get a T-shirt, Lulu Circus.
I can take a football and tie it to my keyboard and let it dangle there.
I've got the spreadsheet that I'm using to calculate passing percentages,
there's
a formula that isn't working just right, and
don't kid yourself. Donnie Barnes, one of the top, one of the original four Red Hat engineers down here. Very smart guy, but I mean, he spent more of his time programming basketball pools for the college basketball for us than he ever did doing any work for Red Hat.
You know?
He was a smart guy. It was a great basketball pool thing that he used to run for us.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, absolutely. No.
It's computer service to the company.
Yeah, with the exception of geeks like those of us sitting here, most people use computers to solve some particular problem they've got. And Donnie was a huge computer enthusiast because of what he could do with NASCAR racing analysis.
A lot of people get the computer and then try to find, okay, now what can I do with it? Mm-hmm.
They find more problems with the computer than it solves in the first place.
Oh, yeah.
They make good doorstops, though.
Yeah, but that creates a whole industry that keeps guys like you me employed.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm liking the sound of this.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the way. I always said, any way you look at it, thanks to IBM. I mean, we hated IBM in the 80s because when the clones came out and you could buy four of them for the price of what you pay for an IBM or, Microsoft. But it's two companies that allow a lot of us to be in business and
keep
going.
There's no question. And the best guys at those companies are just so brilliant. Bill Gates, for all that he may be a competitor of mine, as a result, someone we take pot shots at, is without doubt the smartest technology guy since Thomas Watson Jr. at IBM in the 60s and 70s. I mean, there's really only been two true geniuses in this industry.
I would say three. Bob Young.
I deny that category. Clearly have not spent any time with me, Jim.
I would throw Bob into that category because I would go that far. Because I'm impressed.
Why are you thinking so little of what you did?
The third guy might be Andy Grove. Of Intel. But anyway, so little of what we did. We did some clever things.
By your experiences in fact, at Red Hat.
The guys at Red Hat are still, of course, doing brilliant things. But, you look at the guys at Oracle. They've done brilliant things. They are not at the caliber of a Microsoft. Microsoft and IBM under Watson in the 60s and 70s were in a class all by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they may do evil things. It's just that they did them so well. You had to admire these guys.
I was on the way here. I was listening to 100.7.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about how the public worships criminals like Al Capone and all.
The Sopranos.
Sopranos. Yeah, they were talking about how because they can get away with stuff that we can't.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that's a good analogy. of what we do and what we want to do and we cannot.
Larry Ellison couldn't sit at your dinner table.
Yeah, and your calls are coming up next right here on Sports Radio 850.
The Buzz.
And welcome back to Computers 2K2 on Sports Radio 850 The Buzz. Our number is 860-0850, star 850, and pound 850 on your cell phone. Free calls.
So I have a question about the tech circus.
You have a question? I'll tell you what, Ken, can we run a short,
talk much?
Oh, man.
I have no idea what the hell you're talking about.
We're going to do a contest.
Oh, a contest. Yeah, we can
show. Okay, caller number what? Tell me.
I don't know. What's a good number? Jim, what's a good number?
7.
Oh, look, I'm asking Kim, and he's asking Jim. I could ask Jim.
That's true.
I want to get you into the...
It's a technology thing, though. Yeah, it's a clear glass communication.
I'm not very good at math.
Clear glass communication. That's a nice...
I like that. Clear glass communication. That's a good company.
So, caller number 7?
Caller number 7 is good with me.
Caller number 7 to 875-0062. 875-0062.
875-0062.
A Lulu T-shirt.
Cool.
Ooh.
It's caller number 7 right now to 875-0062.
I'll tell the caller on line 1 that they're calling on the wrong line.
Yeah, if I don't see a caller on line 1.
They just went off.
Oh. Yeah, it needs to go to 875-0062.
Tell them I look fabulous in it.
And what does it say on it?
It says, shut up and code.
Shut up and code. Okay, so you have a question about...
about the tech circus.
Yeah.
Are there going to be clown cars?
Absolutely. This is a circus.
I want to see clowns. Not the one I see in the mirror every morning.
I can't promise clown cars, but I can promise jugglers.
Oh, cool.
Jugglers.
Are you guys aware of the connection? You know, there's some really weird connections among these geeks. Everyone thinks of geeks as being unidimensional human beings, as in we're only good at one thing, you know, repairing computers. When you actually sort of scratch the surface, you find that they're all either musicians or they're ham radio operators or they are jugglers. And it is amazing the percentage of geeks who can juggle. And one of my few claims to fame as a geek, I'm not really a geek, you know, I dress up and I act like one. No, exactly. The last code I wrote was on punch cards in the basement of the University of Toronto in 76 or something. But anyways... but I pretend to be a geek because I actually can juggle. And that gets me so much respect among the real geeks that I know. You know, the Linus Torvalds and the Alan Coxes of this world. It's really cool. So anyways, yes, we are going to have jugglers and we are going to be selling, you know, juggling balls and this sort of thing.
You're going to see Bob in the Midway.
That's going to be one of the
juggling balls.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and then people say, well, Bob, are you actually going to come to this event? Is this like just a business for you and you're going to sit in the back room and try and count money or something? Of course, we have to hope someone comes before we can do that.
I'd be happy to count the money for you.
I need someone to count money.
I'd be happy.
Jim, you're hired.
1, 2, you're 7, hired. 8, 12, 15, 35.
One for me, one for you, one for me.
A little bit for me. I'll just get in my pocket.
Okay, the main reason we're hosting this thing is it's very selfish. I want to go. This is going to be the most fun. I'm going to be hanging out there. So, yeah, I mean, if anyone knows how to juggle, I'd be happy to have a juggling contest. The good news for them is that they'll win because I don't juggle very well. But there is going to be a very circus-like element to it. That's what we're trying to make this fun. We're trying to get the fun back into technology. Uh-huh. This is about the enthusiasts. This isn't about, oh, damn, I have to read another 500-page manual for work by 9 o'clock in the morning. This is about, look, the reason I got into this business is technology is just fascinating stuff, and I want to meet other people who think technology is fascinating stuff. And you know, that's who I am. So I'm going, this is going to be cool. I get to spend 3 days hanging out with people who think technology is fascinating stuff.
Cool. He's doing it all for his own benefit. It has nothing to do with us. It has nothing to do with the vendors.
How selfish could he be?
I know.
Oh, I'm telling you.
It's just amazing.
I'm telling you.
Well, you see, if we're having such a good time this morning, I figure I got to talk you guys at least into coming, and then I'll have at least one friend at the circus.
Pack the kids up, head down to the circus, look for the clowns.
That's it, the circus. Yeah. The circus. So there's going to be jugglers. Let's think about what's fun things.
There's going to be musicians. We're going to have like a real live. Here's an oxymoron.
We're not talking about MIDI stuff.
Absolutely.
We're talking about real music.
Yeah. No. We're going to have real live MIDI stuff.
Okay.
So, you know, here's guys who normally make music in their basement perfectly in silence because they're doing it all in code, kind mm-hmm. of. And we're actually going to do live demonstrations of this stuff.
Cool.
Yeah. How do you do that is the question. Well, of course, suddenly what you do is you have to give them speakers. And the moment they have speakers, they look like any other musician. They mm-hmm. they can entertain a crowd. They've just never had the opportunity to do it. So our jingle, which we're putting together, and this is really weird music, of course. But again, the point is to have a hell of a lot of fun with this. So, I mean, you can do weird, wild things that aren't necessarily any good. But as long as everyone's attitude is, the point isn't whether or not it's good. Some of it may be brilliant. The point is, are you having a lot of fun? Are your listeners being educated and entertained at the same time? And this is why the circus is just going to be a riot.
www.lulu.com. And this is when again?
This is on the end of this month of September, coming up September Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the 27th, 28th, and 29th. NC State has a football game on the Saturday, so everyone who's going to the football game can come along to the circus. The circus runs till 9 o'clock at night.
At the fairgrounds.
And it's at the fairgrounds. So it's, you park your car, go to the football game, and wander over to the circus.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. For dessert.
For dessert.
Or you go to the football game for dessert.
For dessert, yeah, that's true, too.
Because the football game's
3 days. Now, if I come on Friday and I pay to get in, do I have to pay again on Saturday and again on Sunday, or is it the...
No. Once you've paid to get in, you get in all 3 days. So this is why we give you a little wristband. It's one of these indestructible wristbands. Yeah. You'll be wearing it for the rest of your life.
It says I'm in room 412 and I have angina problem.
Yeah.
Oh, that's my hospital.
Yeah, but tooth and... Yeah,
You guys are getting into the spirit of this. Good. I've made one sale. This is a good thing.
Okay, bye. Let's see. Thomas, good morning.
Good morning. Look here, I have a keyboard I bought for my kids Christmas time, and I was trying to hook it up to my MIDI port, but I cannot seem to get any sounds out of my sound card. What the problem might be?
You're going to have... Is that a keyboard for MIDI or just a keyboard that plays by itself?
Keyboard plays by itself, but it has MIDI ports on it.
It does. You need some software that will interface between... I've never used it. I'm not sure, but I know people use something like Cakewalk and things like that to do music with a keyboard. In many cases, the MIDI port is actually the joystick port, which is the same thing on the sound card. It's not enabled on the new computers.
Okay.
You want to make sure that it's enabled.
Okay, it is enabled because it has a joystick on it, and I took the joystick off and tried to put the MIDI cable on there, and I don't get any sounds at all.
Don't know.
Okay. All right, then. I'll try something else. But thanks anyway.
Okay, thanks for calling 850 Buzz. Oh, and I see the Vinny from Cary won the T-shirt. All right, Vinny. Congratulations. You got a Shut Up and Code T-shirt from Lulu. Got kind of distracted there for a second. Mike, good morning.
Good morning. A few weeks ago, I spent the better part of a weekend trying to install for the first time Linux Red Hat 7.3, and it was not a fun thing to do. I don't know anything at all about Linux. It was my first entree into it, and it was very frustrating. My question really relates to at what point will it get when will we get to the point that we can have a CD, we boot to that CD, Linux installs itself, and all of a sudden you have an operating system that you don't have to be a geek to operate.
Okay, we're actually already there, believe it or not. And I can appreciate with your experience how you would not believe that, so don't let me oversell you on it. The challenge we've got is every computer that's being shipped out there is being built and engineered from the ground up, starting with the Intel chip, to run exactly one operating system, and that's Microsoft Windows. So anyone who builds a competing operating system is playing catch up. We're trying to write drivers. In fact, this whole worldwide open source community is working as hard as they can to write the drivers necessary to run on all those pieces of hardware. But there are literally tens of thousands of pieces of hardware that might actually show up in the computer that you bought at CompUSA. And it is really, you know, sort of it's as frustrating to us as it is to our customers, the fact that there will be computers out there, just almost random, that we think our stuff should run on. We can't figure out, for whatever reason, you know, we've checked the video cards and the storage cards and the, you know, just all the various drivers and pieces. We think it should run. Our customer thinks it should run. The specs say it'll run. But yet it doesn't. And what it typically, when we, on the rare chance we actually get the chance to engineer it all the way down, we realize there's a particular Taiwanese chip in the firmware that was switched at the last minute, and the driver was written for the old firmware. And that's a long explanation
obviously you've done this before. Actually my exact experience, and I mean this kindly because it has nothing to do with Red Hat, but it has to do with the open source idea. Let me state my position. I would love to be able to blow Microsoft completely off every machine I have and do that for other people as well. So this is not a hostile question, but it is somewhat of a complaint that you often hear, or I have often heard, that you can run Linux easily on older machines because it's not the resource hog that Windows is.
Yep.
So I tried doing that on a Pentium 2 machine and got everything loaded, and except that I couldn't find a video driver for this older card. And when I went through all the news groups and websites trying to find it, I noted some degree of arrogance as to, well, we don't want to support that card. It's not a good card. Whereas Windows, there's almost always a driver, as you said, for that card. But the frustration was when I got it loaded, it said, oh, by the way, if you're going to run the graphical interface, you need a faster, hotter computer.
Oh, interesting. The other trick is, and this is the benefit of older machines, and this is the only defense I can give you, or the only advice I can give you, is when you're buying an older machine, you know, you pick up a PC for $200, and you're trying to run Linux on it, don't hesitate to swap out the video card for some other older video card that you can pick up at one of these swap meets for, you know, sort of pennies, or on eBay or wherever else. It is always a problem, and that, you know, is somewhat of, is inevitable, given that all of this equipment was only ever designed to run Windows. So if you're buying a new computer, and you buy a new computer that's designed to run Linux, what do you know? It'll run Linux every bit as well as it'll run Windows. My only advice, I guess, in your experience, is to try it on a different computer. You'll eventually, most of your older computers will run Linux reasonably seamlessly. I don't want to oversell its simplicity. If you have never worked with any sort of Unix operating system before, there is a learning curve. The same way if you switch from the Apple environment to the Microsoft environment, if you move from Microsoft to Unix, or if you move from Unix to Linux, but Unix and Linux are very similar. So if you have a little bit of Unix experience, you'll find Linux relatively straightforward. We are working on our ease of use. You know, we've got these great projects working to run, you know, Windows applications on Linux called Wine, to run a perfectly complete graphical user interface, things like KDE or GNOME. All of these issues are being addressed, but the big market for Linux is going after the more sophisticated server applications, and that's where our focus, Red Hat's focus, has been. But we're very rapidly moving towards the ease of use tools that guys like yourself and myself very much appreciate.
Workstation.
Yeah, the workstation applications. But we cannot guarantee, we try and be clear about this, that it'll run on all of the Windows machines that you can put your hands on out there, because it won't. It'll run on most of them.
So the final part of the question is, if I were going to take another run at this in terms of hardware, what would you recommend that I do to make this event less eventful?
Okay, the trick is to start, do your research on the hardware first. In other words, instead of finding some hardware and trying to run Linux on it, go to any of the Linux sites, redhat.com linux.com linux.org or any of these sort of places, or go to Google and look up hardware compatibility is what you're looking for, and then try and find a computer that is compatible with, you know, one of the millions of machines and hard drives and video cards that Linux is compatible with. So you start, you know, you're starting with the advantage of knowing that Linux at least should run on your computer instead of starting with a computer and hoping that Linux will run on it.
Fair enough.
Let me ask you something. Is there anywhere on the internet that you can go into and say, okay, I have a ESS 1608 sound card.
Yep.
Is it compatible and it'll
yes.
show? And then this is the video card I have. Yep. And, you know, and so forth. And maybe I have a video card sitting on the side, and maybe this one that's in the computer is not compatible, but, oh, yeah, this one is. So swap it, and suddenly I have a computer that is compatible.
That's exactly right. And there's millions of places out there.
Okay.
Like everyone else, I've been so badly spoiled by Google that all I ever do is just go to www.google.com and type in, you know, sort of whatever your sound card model number is for Linux, hit return, and it'll come up with a bunch of places to go to get that information.
Okay, Mike?
Thank you.
Sure. Thanks for calling 850 The Buzz. And your calls are coming up next right here on Sports Radio 850. The Buzz. Welcome back to Computers 2K2 on Sports Radio 850 The Buzz. Our number is 860-0850, *850, and #850 on your cell phone. And we're talking with Bob Young of Lulu. Founder of Lulu.
Absolutely.
Yeah. He found Lulu.
Lulu may not amount to much. No one may have even heard of it, but I need to get all the credit I can get.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, were you worried when you saw the company name? I wonder if that domain's available.
No, you do it the other way around.
I know.
Absolutely. You guys know that.
Let's see. We need a company name. That domain is not available. That one is. Hey, there's our company name.
Because there's going to be some gaming.
Absolutely. And the gaming, you'll love this story. We got into the gaming side because we were sort of aware, obviously, gaming, especially LAN gaming these days, is big in the tech community.
Mm-hmm.
But it hadn't really occurred to us that that was going to be a priority for the circus until I recruited a kid out of my daughter Zoe's high school class called Philip Kelly. And Philip is... You know, just when my daughter was saying, he needs a job, and, you know, Dad, do you know somewhere that my buddy Philip could get a job? And I said, well, tell me about Philip. He said, well, Philip's the kid in my class. He's the geek in my class that the other geeks go to for advice. I said, boy, now that's the kind of kid I'm happy to offer a summer job to. So we got Philip in to do a little bit of work on the website and that sort of thing because he's really cheap and quite capable. Anyway, so we're talking about the circus with Philip. You know, he's shy, retiring guy sitting around eating pizza with the rest of us, you know. And the topic got around to what else we should do, and sort of Philip sticks up his hand like he's in class going, have you guys considered games? And we go, well, we considered it, but we don't know much about it. He says, well, my buddies and I, we get together on a Saturday afternoon, and we pull 30 machines together, and we link them up as a LAN web event. And we go, wow. This kid actually doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yeah, now we're doing games.
So, exactly. This can't be that difficult. So Philip has sort of taught us what we know, and we have some big LAN gaming events, some competitions going. We've got Red Storm coming, demonstrating their latest game, hot off the press. And it's for all you LAN gamers out there, going to be a wild part of the circus.
David. Hey, David. David.
Hello?
Hey, David.
Yeah.
There you are. So, was your question answered, or you have another question?
Well, yeah, I do. I was looking on the Lulu website, and I saw Unreal Tournament 2003 on there, and I know that's not out yet, and I just wanted to ask Bob whether, that would be at the circus, and also they're just listed as power sessions, and he's talking about... tournaments and stuff. I'm wondering if there are any prizes.
Are there any prizes? Damn it.
It's like, dude, I want to come. What am I going to win?
No, that's okay. That's okay. No, don't get me wrong. Hold on. You were the one who was going in earlier.
Bumper sticker.
At the circus, there will be prizes for the events. I don't actually have the details in front of me. I got a lot of answers here. I don't have a lot of the details. If you send email to, I think it's info@lulu.com or info@techcircus.com, you'll get the information, the Hold on. I know an email address that will actually get you an answer. Send it to bob@lulu.com, and I'll make sure your question, the precise question about what you've earned or what the prizes look like, get to the right person, and we'll get you a much more specific answer.
All right.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
Sure.
Thanks for calling 850 The Buzz. And your calls are coming up next right here on Sports Radio 850 The Buzz. Welcome back to Computers 2K2 on Sports Radio 850 The Buzz. We're talking with Bob Young, founder of Lulu. And Bob's got under on his belt, there's another notch that I know of, that's founder of Red Hat Linux. There may be some other ones. I don't know that we want to talk about them.
And what you all can't see is he's wearing red socks. Yes, thank you very much. I caught the red sock.
Yeah, but a green hat.
But a green,
this is
hat.
That's right. We're branching out a little bit, you know, from my previous.
It's early Christmas. He's got red and green going. It's early Christmas. I caught the red socks, though. I noticed those.
Oh, good.
What else do we have about Lulu and about the tech circus? The tech circus is the thing. I mean, Lulu is the company, but the tech circus is
the tech circus,
the product.
Thing. That's
right. The thing that we want to talk about.
Absolutely.
And that's coming up the end of this month, 27, 28, 29.
Very good. Very
Friday,
good.
Saturday, Sunday.
Friday, Saturday. Friday is free all day for any students or teachers who can show some sort of student or teacher ID.
ID.
And what we're trying to get across is this is both going to be way cool for us, you know, real geeky geeks, you know, everything from, you know, debates on intellectual property law, but it's also going to be for the kids. I mean, this is a circus, you know, it's the same idea. Circus has the trapeze artists that, you know, we might appreciate as, you know, great aesthetic value, but it also has the clowns. Well, we're doing the same thing. You know, we got, you know, the Battle of the Bot stuff on Comedy Central. Well, we got the low-tech version of that.
The low-tech.
Absolutely. We got Lego Mindstorm. You know the Lego guys who make the blocks, you know, toddlers play with? Well, they have built the coolest kits for building robots that the world has ever seen. I mean, talk about approachable stuff. People have, you know, used to beat me up at Red Hat for not making Red Hat Linux easy enough to use. Lego has solved that problem. If you want to play with building a robot and programming your own robot, go get yourself a Lego kit. Anyways, Lego's coming to the circus. We're going to have being the operative word, competitions between Lego robot guys. They have a version of their kit.
Robot Wars.
Absolutely. Only these are little
mini fridge.
Exactly. Only little Lego guys whacking each other. It'll be amusing. It's sort of like the Comedy Central Battle of the Bots in miniature. But, you know, your 10-year-old will appreciate this more than...
Can build one that's 3 feet tall?
You could. You could.
Okay.
Terminator.
Buy enough Lego blocks?
Yep,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Fill it up with bricks.
Yeah. Or a huge hammer. I love that. I love that commercial.
So to find out information about, and all the information about it, everything from calendar, what's happening every day, different tracks, www.lulu.com.
L-U-L-U.com. That's right. And it's amazing what you can do on the Internet. I mean, what we have on the Internet is the equivalent of, you know, sort of a 30-page glossy brochure that would have cost us $5 to mail to you, and instead of which, for no cost, you can come and self-serve it over the Internet. I mean, it's really pretty cool.
Not only that, but when after you mailed it to everybody, you found out that, oh, no, this changed.
Yes, that's right.
Yep.
Yeah, we're doing that in real time.
But you see, this Internet thing, it's all a fad.
It's all a fad.
I'm still on the fence. I'm not buying it yet. I think it's all a fad.
It may not last.
I don't think so.
CB and stuff like
I'm
that.
Convinced.
Unless you're an eBay shareholder, in which case you might be convinced that there might be a future to this thing.
Yeah.
Or a Red Hat shareholder, for that matter.
Yeah. That's true. Or Microsoft from a while back.
And Microsoft, you're still doing just fine.
Yes,
thank you very
yes.
much. Yeah.
Sounds like he's got some.
Yeah. I bet
unfortunately, no. I don't. That's jealousy speaking.
But I'm betting he's got some Red Hat software. Some Red Hat shares. I'm betting maybe two or three floating around somewhere.
In the early days of Red Hat, Mark Ewing and I used to get together saying, you know, if this ever goes well and we actually make some money, what we're going to do is we're going to buy Intel stock.
Hey.
You know, that is how you make money. money.
That's what those people at Intel now are saying to themselves.
Should have bought Redhead stuff.
You know, we're going to go buy somewhere at Redhead.
Now, that would be the definition of success, wouldn't it be?
Absolutely.
That's right.
Absolutely.
As a technology executive.
All right. We're coming towards the end of the show. We have some more Lulu giveaways. We'll do it next few shows leading to the actual circus.
Build up some, you know, anticipation.
Yeah. You're going to put the little circus on top of the June Grand building so people know where?
Oh, absolutely. Well, in fact, we'll have a truck driving around to the triangle for about 4 days before the circus, saying,
okay,
follow me to the circus.
To the circus.
Yeah. And that'll be parked out on Wade Avenue.
We have elephants?
No elephants. Oh, wait, except you're coming, aren't you?
Oh. I think I just took another shot. Hold on. I did. I took another shot. I'm still bleeding from the first one.
Look, for the listeners out there, by the way, I should point out that Jim is about 100 pounds heavier than I am. So he's quite capable of beating me up once we're off air here. So.
I will format your hard drive like you've never been formatted before, man. I'll F-disk you across the room, man.
Oh. Anybody you want to say good morning to that's listening? You know,
that's listening? Golly, who'd be listening? I'd have to think of my friends who follow the football games, because that's what's coming up next.
Yeah, high school daughter's like, Dad, man, I was asleep the whole time.
Now, if Melissa London, our PR person who messed up this, timing, if she was in the area, we'd mention her just to beat up on her. But she's up in Vermont, so she's probably not listening. But.
So nobody's listening at home. Nobody, I mean.
Oh, Carol. Carol Land is probably listening in on this. Oh, and so I'll tell Carol to send Melissa an email to beat up on her.
From work while running. Yeah, exactly. I'm Carol, I need you to do me a favor. Could you send an email from Melissa?
Yeah. Because, Jim, it's not just you guys I beat up on. You know, it's everyone.
The whole world.
Everyone beats up on me, so I figure it's only fair.
Anybody want to say good morning?
I'll say good morning to Christina DeGretto.
Anybody you have that you want to say good morning to besides Steph?
I said good morning to Steph already.
Yeah.
Okay. So, no. Okay. I don't think so.
All right. Well, I guess that's it for this morning then. Good morning to Kathy and Hannah and Mac and Norm and Ken and everybody else at the Y. But that's it for today. Thank you, Bob, for being our guest here.
Hey, thanks, guys. This was huge fun.
It was fun for us, too. And
I'm bleeding, but
thanks, everybody, for tuning in to Sports Radio 50 The Buzz.
Quit whining, Jim.
Okay, too. Thank you, Ken, for producing and screening. As usual, practice safe computing. Back up your hard drive, and don't forget to use a virus scanner. We'll be back here next Sunday at 8. Now stay tuned to Sports Sunday with J-Dog. Is J-Dog going to do the show, or is it...
Yeah, he is going to do the show. He's in Charlotte.
All right. J-Dog, Riley, and Ken. And Steph is going to be here, too, and you're going to be here.
Everybody's
going to be here.
A big party up here.
Right here on Sports Radio 850. The Buzz.